prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Dave, and with me is the head pastor.
Hey.
At Revolution Church.
And you're the associate pastor.
I am.
All right. So we are from Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas, and we would love you to come out and be part of what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah.
9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 5 p.m. on Sundays.
That's right. 1111 West South Salina if you are in town.
Now, if you're listening to the show at a later date, you're just going to want to go over to the website and make sure the service times are the same because we're adding more services. Mm-hmm. Revo.church is the website.
Yes.
Or our website for the radio show is...
TruthRevolution.tv.
Yeah, you can get our podcast there. Make sure you get it every single week. Releases on Sundays. You can also get our truth shots and all sorts of good stuff. You can donate. Thank you to those of you who actually have given to this show.
Yeah.
The small number of people who do that make this show available for thousands of people. And so we really appreciate it. You make it go out there. All right, today we're going to solve a Bible contradiction like always.
Yep.
And normally we talk about science. And faith and logic and reason. Today we're gonna get a little more biblical on you today.
Okay.
We're gonna use logic, but we're gonna talk about this thing called immanence, God's immanence or his nearness to us.
Kind of like presence, correct or no?
Kind of like presence, okay. Yeah. Kind of like proximity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever ridden on a 4-wheeler or 3-wheeler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I was little, we used to. Tie up with sleds behind a 3-wheeler.
Okay.
And my dad would pull us when it would snow out.
Uh-huh.
I do this with my kids now. But one time I was on this sled. We were going down this hill. It was right near a tennis court. And as the 3-wheeler went down the hill and past the fence, and it's almost like if he would have drive straight, he would have driven right into the fence. But uh-huh. He just went to the side of it. And as we went down the hill, our sled started to go off to the side, crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this fence coming, and we were going right for it. And there was an older kid that I was kind of sitting in front. He was sitting behind me. He grabbed me, and he threw me off the sled as he slammed into this tennis gate so hard that it pulled up the gate from the bottom.
Wow.
Scraped over his face. He was bleeding. It was nasty. Now, proximity is a huge deal when you're going fast, right?
Yeah.
All right. The nearness you are to something is always important, especially when you're talking about how close you are to something big and powerful that can hurt you.
Right. Like a fence.
Or a god.
Yeah. So, I mean, but taking the fence, he was very close to the fence. You were not. Were you safe?
I was safe.
There you go.
And we're going to be talking about the nearness of God today. How close is God to us? Now, Psalm 139, chapter 7, the writer of the psalm asked this very poignant two questions.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
And the answer is?
Nowhere.
Nowhere, right?
I think that was a like hypothetical question or... Rhetorical question.
Hypothetical question. Hypothetically, where could I go to get away from you, God?
Well, hypothetically. I'm glad I can make you laugh.
Yeah. So how near is God to me, right? He's saying there's nowhere I can go to get away from God. And it's wise to know how close we are. This guy's acknowledging there's nowhere he can go. He actually goes down to verse 8 and he actually explains this.
If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
Okay. Now we know what heaven is, right? If we go there, God's there.
Mm-hmm.
The depths, the Hebrew word for this is the Sheol, right? It could be phrased maybe hell or death.
Okay.
No matter how wonderful, terrifying things are, God is there, right?
Right.
You go up, God's there. You go down, God's there. God's in the heavens. He's in the spiritual realm. He's here right now. No matter what you do, God is going to be there. The verses go on in verse 9 and 10. It says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. All right, rising on the wings of the dawn, that's the east.
Mm-hmm.
Far side of the sea was the west to them.
Right.
So it's like, in other words, there's not even a place on earth you can go that would escape God, right? This is pretty clear. We know this. Then verse 11 and 12 says this.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Now, people always use these verses and they screw them up royally.
Mm-hmm.
But this verse is simply talking not about anything else. It's only talking about God's immanence, right? You try to hide from God in the dark, doesn't matter. It's just like, it's the same thing as a shining bright room to him. He can see you. You try to hide your sins, he sees them. You try to hide your face, he sees your face. Just because it's dark out, just because you've gone to a place where you don't think he is, he's there. Right. Whether it's day or night, whether you're doing well, whether you're steeped in sin, whether you refuse to acknowledge God or not, he's still very near you. He's right there. Good times or bad times. The question to the answer, how near is God? The answer is, he is very near to us. There's no place that he's not. Now, sometimes we ask the question, God, where are you? And now the answer is he's right there with us because God's presence penetrates everything. It doesn't always feel that way. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But, but he's everywhere. You ever read some A.W. Tozer?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's a good author, right?
Yes.
And he gives this analogy about God being the ocean. And the universe is a bucket. And you dip that bucket, you just plunge it into the ocean. And that is God's relationship to the universe. All right, God is outside of the universe. The universe is swimming in God. The universe is also, God is also inside the universe, right? The water is inside the bucket as well as around it. Of course, the bucket and the universe, the bucket and the water, two very, very different things. They are very different things, but they're intermixed. The bucket is inside the ocean, and the ocean is inside the bucket. And this is God's relationship to the universe. He penetrates everything. That's what this analogy is trying to show. He penetrates everything. Just as water is close to the bucket inside and out, God is very near to us inside and out. This is called the immanence of God right here. God is right here. As you're listening to this, God is right there with you, right there.
Right. It's one of those things that's amazing because, you know... I know it's hard to believe, but I haven't always lived a good life, you know? I mean, I lived for myself for a long, long time, and I ran from God. I knew God was there, but I wanted to do my own thing, and I ran and ran and ran and ran. It doesn't matter how far you go. I turned right around, and bam, he's right there, you know? So it's like there's nowhere that you can go that he is not.
That's right.
Even in prison.
Now, how near is he to us? Because he isn't physical, right? We're not saying he's a physical God.
Right.
Why do we sometimes feel like he's far away if he's so close to us? To understand, we have to go way back to the ancient Greek gods.
Okay.
And the ancient Greek gods, it was like a Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Dionysus. All right. Zeus was a lustful god.
Right.
He couldn't control himself. His god wife Hera hoped that Zeus would be faithful. But he never was.
Right.
One time, he got a mortal pregnant, Semele, who was the daughter of a king. So she's pregnant, and Zeus's wife Hera is really mad. So she takes on the form of an old woman, convinces Semele to go ask Zeus to show his glory to her. So he agrees, and it just obliterates her with lightning bolts. Okay, just obliterates this poor girl. Fortunately, Zeus saves the baby Dionysus from his mother's womb. And he sews the boy into his thigh until it's time for him to be born.
Well, you know, at least he stood up and did what he was supposed to do.
As
right?
the dad?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like Jerry Springer.
It is.
All right. This is the Greek god version of Jerry Springer. Greek gods were exaggerated humans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They were just exaggerated. They had all our qualities and all of our faults. And it was easy to identify them because they were pretty much the same thing as we are. But the one true God is very different than we are.
Amen.
Now, I've said that God penetrates everything. He's very near to you right now, and that's true. But let me give you another truth. The Jewish king Solomon said this after he built the temple of God. This is 1 Kings 8:27.
But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built.
God's too big to be contained. He's unlike us. We are little. We are confined to time and space. He is not. His eyes pierce the darkness when we can't see. His mind comprehends things that we can't even begin to imagine. God is very different than we are. The bucket is not the same as the water. Not in form, not in function. They're not alike in hardly any way. Hosea 11:9 says this,
"For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you."
Right? God's pointing out his distinction. God's entirely different. Now, I want you to wait a minute. Didn't God design us in his own image? That's what Scripture says. Scripture says it. You look again in Hosea 11.
For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you.
Okay. Why is he different? Because he is God. That's the what? The Holy One. Right? He is perfect. He is sinless. He always does what is right. And that, my friends, is very, very different than us.
Amen.
Primarily, God is very different because he is so holy and so perfect. Where, hey, Dave.
Here it comes.
You and I are sinners, man.
Mm-hmm.
We do screwed up stuff.
We do. Every single day.
And A.W. Tozer explains that we cannot commune with an animal because our natures are so different. You ever communed with an animal?
I can't say that I have.
I mean,
I've talked or I've barked at a dog, but uh-huh. He just looked at me, cocked his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of you right now are like, no, I love animals. And that's true. All
right. Right.
But you take a fish, and my nature is so different than a fish that we will never be best friends.
Right.
Right. We can love them. I can appreciate them. I can care for them. But if your best friend is a fish, you need to seek psychiatric help.
Right.
Right. Because our natures are too dissimilar. Let me say that again. Our natures are too dissimilar to be best friends. And the more dissimilar we are from something, the less able we are to have a true relationship with it.
Okay. So the difference between us and God is big.
Massive, because our natures are completely and utterly separate.
But are we not supposed to attempt to have a relationship with God? He just looked at me like, congratulations, you got it.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
To have fellowship with God, okay, it's not a matter of being, listen, it's not a matter of being closer to God.
Right.
Because we are close to God right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, God is very near to you.
Yeah.
To have fellowship with God, we need a different nature.
Oh. Hey, just the light bulb went off above my head.
Oh, yeah. Boom. This is why Christ and the prophets in Scripture don't talk about just, hey, just change or just get close to God. It talks in Scripture about becoming a new creation. Mm-hmm. It talks in Scripture about being born again. The prophets, like the Apostle Paul, talk about dying to who you used to be.
Yes. Die daily.
Is God close to me? Well, he is very near to me. Are the fish and I close to each other? Yes, I'm very near to a fish. If the fish is in the tank, I walk up, I press my face against that tank. But relationally, there has to be a change of my nature if I'm going to be into a real relationship with that fish.
Right.
I'm going to have to get inside the tank. I'm going to have to learn how to breathe water. I'm going to learn how to communicate on a whole different level. Like my nature, I either have to become like the fish or the fish has to become like me. Oh.
Wow.
Interesting. God came down and took on the form of human flesh. He became a man.
Yeah.
He became Jesus Christ. And he has he did the unthinkable, and he became like us, except that he was without sin. This is why it's so important for God to have come down to earth and take on the form of a man.
Right.
Because even though God is near us, we are totally unlike him. And the nature of either us or God has to change. And God's nature isn't going to change into some sort of sinful being. So he took on human flesh and became a human being so they could get to know us. It's amazing how it all lines up.
That is amazing. And it's even farther of a difference between us and the fish,
mm-hmm.
Between us and God, than it is between us and the fish.
Oh, yeah. Like millions of miles difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're not done with this. We're gonna come back to this, but we also have a Bible contradiction, and we also have a listener question. So we'll be back. Hey, Dave.
Yo.
What website should everyone go to?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And what's the best website you've ever been to?
TruthRevolution.tv.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, it is?
Well, I mean, I administer it, so.
Okay, all right. It is a pretty good website. You probably should get out there.
I didn't know what you wanted me to say.
I don't know. I thought you could say like ESPN or something. I don't know. All right, so get out to truthrevolution.tv, the only website better than ESPN and Google put together.
There you go.
All right. Truth Revolution, Revolution Church, you need to come on out. We'll be right back after the other side of this break.
God cares more about what's inside than what's on the outside.
For real. At Revolution Church, we're not worried about how you look. We're just a church for people who don't normally go to church.
If you're interested, check us out on Facebook.
Or www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
This is about you and God. Our whole goal is to make a place where you and your kids will feel totally welcome.
Services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and at 5 p.m.
On Facebook and www.revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
If Christianity is true, why are there so many different denominations? Wouldn't all churches believe the same thing?
Yeah, and if science is true, why are there so many different theories? Wouldn't all scientists say the same thing?
Ah, just because something is true doesn't mean humans don't disagree about it.
Exactly. Denominations don't mean Jesus didn't rise from the dead or things like that. It just means people who want to know God are actual human beings who have disagreements with each other.
But there are some pretty significant differences. Doesn't that mean that the Bible is pretty unclear?
Well, for the most part, all denominations agree on the essentials. We are sinners. Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead. We need God to forgive us, and Jesus took our punishment on himself.
That's the big stuff. It's after that where disagreements come in. Some bigger, some a little tiny.
Some churches put a lot of emphasis on their traditions. Some, like ours, emphasize Jesus' teachings. Just minor differences.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now, God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people. That is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about fish and God. And man, you think about that. As far different as we are from God, that fish is even farther. That poor fish. Poor fish.
We're trying to do a podcast about the nature of God, and you're just feeling bad for this fish.
Well, fish are people too, right?
No.
No. Well, I have a fish, so, you know.
You do?
Yeah, people always freak out when I tell them that.
What's his name?
It doesn't have a
name. It doesn't have a name?
It's called Fish.
You're sitting here, and you're freaking out because this poor fish is so far from God, and you're like, I have a fish. I don't have a... And you haven't even named your fish?
Well, no. Who names a fish?
I name fish when I have own fish.
Here's the thing. Sometimes I need to be calmed. Okay. Sometimes I sit in my room and watch the fish, and it helps to calm me.
What if you gave it a name? It wouldn't calm you anymore.
No, I just didn't think about it.
Okay, everybody, listen up. Dave needs a name for his fish. Email in, and we will select a name for Dave's fish.
Great.
From your emails. All right, and I'll announce them as soon as I can.
Well, name it Samson.
Name it Jeff.
Okay.
Name your fish Pastor Jeff.
No.
Okay, Eddie, this is getting weird. Let's get back to the show.
Shoot that rabbit.
Okay, so we've been talking about the nearness of God, mm-hmm. how God penetrates everything. He is part, he surrounds everything. We are inside God. He's around us all the time. He's very near to us, but we're also very far away in a sense. Actually, you know what? Before we even get back into that, Dave, let's just go ahead and do a Bible contradiction. Let's just do that right out of the bat here, yeah. Okay?
Bible contradiction.
Well, this Bible contradiction is from thoughtcatalog.com.
Okay.
Bet you know they didn't have a catalog for that, did you? Right. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, to the King of Supreme, or unto governors. That's 1 Peter 2:13.
Okay, so we got to submit to the government. I know this verse very well.
That's right.
I don't like it, but I do it.
Acts 5:29 gives us a reprieve. We ought to obey God rather than men.
Heck yeah.
So just go wild.
And that verse is talking about when they told the apostles, do not talk about Jesus anymore.
Right.
And so they actually were disobeying the government.
So what is it? Shall we obey the government or shall we obey God?
And initially people say, well, we just obey the government unless God disagrees with them, then we obey God. Well, to what extent? You know, I understand why they would say this is a contradiction. Are you saying that you obey the government, or are you saying that you always obey God?
Right.
And we have to understand our interpretive principle to make sure that we're not just doing whatever we want to do. And our interpretive principle is D for dialect. Okay, we use our cracked acronym. The C is
context. Context.
The R, revealed. The A,
author's intent.
The C,
context.
The K, no, not context. Credibility.
Credibility. Knit together.
And the E.
Early meaning in manuscript.
And the D.
And dialect.
I just said it. So I started saying that, and you got this look here like, I'm on the spot.
Right.
So I knew I was going to plow through the whole thing as soon as I said that.
Nice.
All right, anyway. So use D for dialect. Dialect is like, man, when I say this color is really a happy color, you're going to guess that it's like a bright color or something, right? Why? Because the dialect, the type of words I use, you've interpreted it. You know, when I say a happy color, probably we use those types of colors at birthday parties.
Well,
and,
you know, people say, oh, that's kind of dark. Mm-hmm. And they mean that that's kind of sad or melancholy or
evil.
You know, or evil.
Yeah. And so we use these different types of phrasings, and our language is deeply tied to hyperbole, to sarcasm, to exaggeration, all these things. And so when we interpret things, we're trying to understand not just what the literal word meant, but what types of language they were using here. So when the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Peter, who wrote the book of 1 Peter, actually says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man, he also, before he even wrote that, was disobeying the government to preach about Jesus Christ in certain circumstances. Right. So when he says that you're supposed to obey, he is giving what is called a general expression. A general expression. He is in no way saying that in every circumstance, all the time, and there are no exceptions, you obey the government. He's not communicating that. He's not trying to communicate that. He's giving a general expression. You know, I told my kids the other day, we were out at Kenwood Cove, and one of the lifeguards told them something to do, and they didn't listen right away. And so I talked to them. I was like, hey, when a leader tells you to do something, your teacher or a lifeguard, you have to obey them.
Right.
Right. You have to obey them. Now, did I really mean that they have to do what an authority figure tells them to do every single time?
No.
No. Like if one of those lifeguards said, hey, kid, come here. Come into the bathroom with me.
Right.
Right. I would expect my child to know that I did not mean obey every single thing they say, right? There are exceptions. And again, when Peter is saying this, he's giving a general expression. And the exception to that would definitely be when God tells us to do something that conflicts with what government has told us to do. We obey the government, or we obey God first.
Wow.
That's the answer for contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
You just contradicted the contradiction.
I just contradicted myself. That's a D for dumb.
No, Jeff, it's dialect.
Right.
Didn't I just tell you that?
Okay. Now, let's think about this. Okay, so we talked about a fish.
Uh-huh.
And how we can't really have a true relationship with a fish because our natures are so dissimilar.
Right.
We can't have a true relationship with God, even though he's very close to us, because our natures are very dissimilar. What's the solution to that, Dave?
To change our nature.
To change our nature, right? God changed his nature so that he could become like us. So he became a human so that we could get to know him, right? God cannot sin. And remember, the water that we talk about is very different from the bucket.
Right.
And this is still the biggest difference between us and God. It's why sometimes we feel so far from God. Even though Jesus took on flesh and became like us in nature, he still did not sin. John chapter 3 actually kind of explains this.
This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Okay, one major thing that keeps you from knowing God more is the fear that your evil deeds will be exposed.
Yes.
Right? We cannot continue in sin and feel the presence of God in an increasing measure. We cannot claim to know God and still love darkness.
Amen.
Right? This is why you don't feel close to God sometimes, even though he's right there next to you. We had a foster kid who didn't feel like he fit here for a while. Right? He fought on doing the homework. He fought on praying with us. He didn't sit at the table. He fought us on everything. Were we accepting of him? Yes. Right. Were we near him? Yes. But he didn't want to do things our way, and consequently, he had some lonely times, right? He didn't want to be like us, and so sometimes he felt lonely, even though we wanted him to be part of what we were doing. I believe the primary reason that we can't sense the presence of God is because we actually don't want to sense the presence of God.
Amen. That was a very good analogy, yeah. Jeff.
It would cramp your style if you really sensed the presence of God, or if you changed your nature so that you could sense the presence of God. This is why God has to give us a new nature, right? We could no longer continue to engage in all these ridiculous behaviors that we love if we felt the presence of God. So we continue living in the darkness because we don't want the light to show the deeds that we've done that are wrong. Not that darkness hides us from God, but it makes it feel like we can hide from God.
Right.
It makes it so that we don't see him, right? We don't have to stop gossiping or lying or stealing or getting wasted or coarse joking, whatever your darkness is. 1 John 5:1-7 says this.
This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
All right, to have fellowship with God and other Christians, we have to step into the light. That's
Amen.
We must desire God, and we have to live as God would want us to live. Our nature must be changing to be more like him. And the key part is that God actually does that nature changing.
Right.
All right, he's said, do you want forgiveness? He's given it to us through Jesus on the cross. He has made forgiveness to you available. Have you accepted it? And when you accept it, do you continue to walk in that truth and pursue God? The Bible says we must walk in it. The word walk in Greek literally means to live, to be occupied with. Are you occupied with the truth of God? It's not like you just start pretending to do a bunch of good deeds. Yo, God, I can feel you now. No. It's not like going on a walk with your spouse, okay? It's not like just, hey, you want to go on a walk? And we walk from point A to point B. It's like walking through life with your spouse. You experience the same joys, the same disappointments, the same goals, the same aspirations. Your whole life is wrapped up in walking with that one person. And that is how we walk in the light. All right? When we do that, we start to sense the very presence of God. We got a listener question, Dave. Do we have time for it?
Maybe.
Let's try it.
I got a question.
All right, this listener says, I was very upset one day and I told a friend about it and said that I knew if I could just calm down enough to pray, I'd feel better. My friend said that it's prayer that changes you, not God. Is that true or is there more to it?
Is it prayer that changes you or is it God that changes you when you pray? God designed us with physiological realities.
Yeah. All right,
so if we can calm our bodies, that does affect our soul. But we want more than just calming of our bodies. We want a relationship with God, right? That's why we pray.
Amen.
We don't pray just so that God calms us down. We also believe that God does answer our prayer, and he can change us. He can change the world. That's true. But it is both true that prayer itself can change us if we calm down because we have this physiological connection
right.
to our soul. Both of those are true. But God still changes the world and changes us
Amen.
While we pray. All right, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. TruthRevolution.tv is the website. Revo.church is our website for the church. Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas. Where should they go and what should they do, Dave?
They should go to Revo.church And they should come here 9, 11, and 5. That's AM, AM, and PM.
9 AM, 11 AM, 5 PM. You've been thinking about coming. Just give it a shot. No big deal. Hope to see you.